Hey, Lincoln.
Hi.
So, yeah. So, we just watched Lady in the Water for M. Night Week, and we're going to do it a little bit differently this time, because Lincoln deserves this. I have seen this movie before, unfortunately, and I've described it to Lincoln for a long time, and this fucker has never believed a word I said.
I was like, there's no way that it can be as
He
insane.
Argued with me before this that he was going to like it.
I was like, if it's going to be like a fairy tale thing, then I might like it. You know, I kind of like stuff like that. Maybe
so Lincoln ended up with 2 pages of notes. I am going to line by line read his notes, and we're just going to watch him break down in a puddle of shit. Does that sound good, Lincoln?
Yeah.
Lady in the Water. Oh, you got some butterflies. Oh, got some butterflies. All right. So, 5-minute scene of killing fly.
So, at the beginning of the movie, it's like it's a shot of underneath some kind of like kitchen sink or something, and he's like killing some animal. I don't know what's happening. It goes on for far too long. Far too long. It was stupid. I hated it. It was stupid. I hate it. I hate it.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's all I got on that.
I mean, I would say it built up something, but it didn't.
No, it made no sense. It was just funny. Silly.
It's funny.
No, it's not funny at all.
No, it's funny.
And why was he using the opposite end of a broom?
I don't.
What was he killing?
I don't.
And it looked like it went to like the roof of the thingy. Just go to the next one.
I don't know.
Go to the next
one. All right. Note number two here is you fucking bubble partying, yo.
No. So yeah. So okay. So after the fucking killing scene, he's all like, "Oh, there's obviously somebody that's swimming in the fucking pool," and the pool guy is just like, "You fucking doing bubble bass, bro? Are you fucking bubble partying right now?" Fucking bubbles, fuck with this shit.
There's hair in here.
Fucking stupid.
You'll notice a trend that everything that happens in this movie, there is no payoff for reason to.
You're also going to hear me say that's fucking stupid like a million times.
Yeah. All right. Fucking stuttering. How does it work?
So, throughout the movie, the main character, Cleveland, he stutters, but he doesn't actually stutter.
He ejaculates.
Yeah, it's just, he's just going... Like, that is his stutter, apparently,
yeah.
In that world. I have a lot of friends. Not a lot of friends, really.
You don't have a lot of friends.
I have a few friends that have stuttered, have a stuttering issue. I know how it works. It's not how it works. You don't just go... And that's it.
This is what he does.
Fucking stupid. And,
what does his stuttering add to the film, Lincoln?
Fucking nothing. All it does is that the fucking nymph... Whenever he's around her, he doesn't stutter.
To me, it's foreshadowing that he does have a role later in the film because she is having an effect on him. All right, next note. You're not even going to, like, justify me. You're so... I wish this was video so people see how fucking pissed off you are when I speak. Oh, this is glorious. Indian Coke commercial crying.
So, the first scene when... I believe that I wrote this down after he, like, saves him from the water or whatever. And she starts, like, talking. She, like, starts crying, and it looks like the 70s Coke commercial where the Indian stares at the camera.
That wasn't a Coke commercial. You're talking about when the people throw the trash out the window?
Yeah.
That's a littering commercial. No.
Why did I think that was a Coke commercial?
He wasn't handed a fucking Coke. Somebody threw trash on the ground.
I could have sworn that somebody threw trash, and then he, like, got a Coke, and then he drank it.
Why would he just get a Coke?
I don't know. They're just like, sorry, I knew that we killed your people and were littering. Here's a Coca-Cola.
No.
God, what am I thinking of then?
I don't know. Not that commercial.
There has to have been.
You're thinking of when Ronald McDonald's ice skated with the kid. Like, that was fucking McDonald's commercial.
There has to have been some kind of 70s commercial where a Native American drank a Coke and stared into the camera.
I'm sure there probably was, but the one you're thinking of is not it.
Well, anyways, she cried like that. It was terrible.
Just the single tear.
Yeah,
she showed out emotion. The next note is just snarf.
I understand. Okay, here's the thing. I haven't researched this at all. I don't know if this is based on...
We don't know if this is based on a real folklore.
Narf.
Narf. She's a narf. She's a sea nymph.
Narf.
Who lives in chlorine-infested pool water and not the fucking sea.
And she's called a fucking narf.
And she could stay outside the water for the entire movie.
Narf.
She's a narf.
N-A-R-F.
Narf.
Fucking stupid.
Narf. Mad TV Chinese voice.
So the fucking Chinese people in the... Okay, first of all, I have a bone to pick with you, M. Night Shyamalan, for many reasons. One of the fucking reasons, is this a fucking hotel? Or is this a fucking apartment building? None of this makes sense.
I think the settings, though, weren't supposed to matter. It was supposed to seem not normal. I don't know if that's why he did all the day for night shots. I don't know if you wrote that down, but I'm sure.
I didn't.
Okay, this entire movie is shot day for night.
And it's very apparent.
Obviously apparent. That's what I'm trying. I try to get into the brain of M. Night. I don't know if he was trying to give it some surreal aspects, like with Reggie. Like, there's a lot of things in here for no reason. Don't know.
I just honestly chalk it up to laziness. I really, there's nothing else I can really.
Maybe he was just, he could get that location.
He fucking knows better. That's the worst part about this, is that he does all this shit, and it's like, you are a competent, okay, he's not a competent writer, I'm not going to say that in any way, shape, or form, no. He's a competent director.
Other than two shots, which you probably talk about, this is gorgeously, it's shot well.
Yeah.
It's shot well.
You know, like I remarked in the scene where he's laying there with her, I said that that's a really nice, composed shot. Yeah. It looked really nice.
Or when there's a bathroom and it's the overhead panning.
Yeah, like there's a lot really of like stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of shots that are really, really good. But then there's shit like this.
You probably mentioned the slow-mo.
Yeah.
And it's at the end. Okay, so we'll get there.
So yeah, the Mad TV Chinese voice is because there's this Chinese lady that is a central role in the film that if you ever watch shitty Mad TV, there's that, whatever, I don't even remember what her name was. She just had a shitty...
It's Alex Borstein.
What?
It's Alex Borstein.
Whatever.
The one that does Lois on Family Guy.
Whatever.
I think it was her.
A really terrible Chinese... What was her, like, her catchphrase? Oh, no, you didn't, or something like that.
Baby on the half tip.
No, was it's it baby not. On I the wish half-tip? It was.
Blim Blam? Was it Blim Blam?
But she sounds exactly like that, and it was...
The most stereotypically racist.
I just want to know, was that her real voice, or was that
I don't
just...
think so, because we watched the gag reel, and I'm pretty sure we heard her talking.
Oh, that's right.
She I don't know if that normal. Was her.
Was M. Night just like... Can you just be, like, really ching-chongy for me? Like...
He might have been. I don't know. Can you put a little bit more Fu Manchu into that for me? I don't know. All right. I have no idea what the fuck this says.
Oh, okay.
Goo drink.
No. That was me angrily scrolling cookbook.
Cookbook!
Because I was so pissed at that fucking thing.
It's a cookbook!
The reason why I was pissed at cookbook is because we come to find out why he immediately thought it was trash. He just thought, it was just stupid.
He judged a book by its title.
Yeah, he just, my name is M. Night. I'm gonna fucking,
Who was the book written by? Who played that character?
M. Night.
M. Night Shyamalan.
I know, and that's why the scene was there, and that's why it was called Cookbook. That's why I had it.
Where you're like, don't judge a book by the cover, because I'm M. Night Shyamalan, and just because my name's on a movie doesn't mean that it sucks, even though 9 times out of 10, that's what it fucking means.
10 times out of 10.
Fuck you, M. Night. Fuck!
But that being said, M. Night was the second best actor in this film. He didn't have a cameo. He's a full-blown main character in this film.
And if you're going to have your, like, manuscript that's supposed to be, like, really shittily titled, why would you call it Cookbook and think that that's, like, the worst title in the world?
Yeah.
Why not, like, Ass Blast 9?
And the funny thing about M. Night's character in this is that he's the fucking vessel. He is going to be writing the most important thing ever. It will change the world. This is why M. Night thinks of himself. Fucking glory.
What was the movie after Lady in the Water? Was it The Happening?
No. I want to say it was The Village was after Lady in the Water, wasn't it?
I thought that was before.
Oh, it might have been The Happening then. It might have been The Happening. I don't know. I have no idea. They're all shit. Oh, God, this is a long one.
Oh, yeah.
Nice exposition there, M. Night, you fucking Indian hack. Holy shit. Minority Report, Box of Whatever, fucking stop, I want to die, hold me. I don't even know what this is in reference to.
This is in reference to the scene where, what's his name? I want to call him Harold. Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Cleveland goes into his room, and the nymph Story finds his little book talking about his family and everything.
It's funny you called her Nymph Story. That's basically what this fucking is. Huh. Weird. Go ahead. Symbolism.
So she reads this, like, big diary. It's not really, like, said what this book is. I'm guessing it's just, like, some big diary.
It's just a diary. I'm sorry, I read your next note. go ahead.
This diary he talks about, like, his family, like, somebody broke in the middle of the night and killed them, and he survived, blah, blah, blah. And then, so she gives this, like, 5-minute speech that's just pure exposition, giving backstory on the character. And as much as I have disdain for Chris Stuckman, he does have a good point when he talks about exposition, where he brings up Minority Report. I think it's, like, smorgasbord of evidence, something like that.
Yeah.
About how, you know, that's something that's in a movie
that's the most insane thing that is going to give you all the exposition that you need because you're dumb and can't figure something
out. And that's all this movie is. It doesn't show the story. It doesn't let you use the lines figured out. They just flat out fucking tell you repeatedly through the bedtime story.
Like, yeah, that's the only... And the thing is that it's... I think it is 100% intentional that he wanted it to be heavy-handed exposition because he was going for that storytale aspect.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't work.
I mean, he called her story. Yeah. This whole thing that's happening is based on a bedtime story. I think it's to feel like a bedtime story.
Yeah.
Get what he's doing. I do. But sometimes, maybe he's too subtle sometimes. I don't know. That it just doesn't come across well, like the happening.
Yeah.
I get what he was doing with the acting. But maybe it was too subtle. Maybe it should have been more overt. Maybe bright colors, like storybook color, you know?
Yeah, you know,
because it's a very muted color
because
film.
Because that's the thing, like, you're talking about that if he shot it to where, you know, he shot it during the day, but the effects made it look like night.
To give it that.
You know, it's just the problem with that is that it doesn't really give it a surreal vibe to it. There's so much more that you could do to give it kind of a off-putting vibe or...
Yeah.
Also, before you go to the next one, there's something that I realized just now that I did not write down that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Fucking one arm.
Reggie.
A.K.A.
Fucking Reggie! I shouldn't yell.
Okay. Here's the thing.
It's 1:30 in the morning. Breaking down the fourth wall for you.
Okay. What is the one arm thing?
I have no idea.
And is it one leg and one arm?
It's one entire side of his body.
And he just works that out?
Just works out the left side of his body.
And
the right side of his body.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. And that's it.
I don't know why.
And it never comes up again. Like, no. It's just a thing in the beginning of the movie.
It's things like that that makes me wonder if this is based on an actual story. I don't know.
Why couldn't...
Maybe it's just to make it obvious that he's the guardian. He's the strongest. He's the biggest.
Why couldn't they have had him be crippled or something?
I don't know.
Think about it. What if, like, one side of his body was, like, muscular, the other side, and he, like, limped, and he had, like, a little gimp arm? And then it's explained by, like, you know, I had a fucking birth defect, and I still want to get ripped.
Still, why have it at all?
I'm just saying if, like, that is a part of, an integral part of the story, of the original story, and they had to do something like that, that makes way more sense than just, man, I'm just going to work out one side of
his
body.
Yeah, it was silly, and he's such a minor character in this whole film. He hardly has lines. He's not around most of the film.
He probably should have been. You know what? I would have enjoyed this movie a lot if Bubble Boy and One Arm were just together.
I loved him. All right. Your next one's wrong. You figured it out later in the
film. Yes, it is.
But your next note here is, I came here to hit my wife and fuck nymphs, and I'm all out of punchies. it was not his wife.
It was
his sister.
Yeah. I thought that M. Night's character was married to that girl.
No, not Rosario Dawson, was his sister.
Which was why I was so confused. I was like, he's like feigning like to hit her, and he's like yelling at her. So I was like, is he supposed to be like a good character? Like, what is even happening right now?
Yeah.
Punchies is also a nice reference to Regular Show, because I was trying to go into my happy place. I was thinking of the Death Punchies episode of Regular Show, so that's really where that comes from.
Your happy place should be in the locker with the lady.
You can. I mean, she was pretty fun. Kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
I don't know. I got a nymph thing.
What is with all of these fucking shit accents? Who was the other shit accent?
Well, this was during the scene where it's that lady with the beehive haircut. She had like that shitty Brooklyn accent.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was the Chinese accent. There was the stoner guy with that weird Australian accent that didn't make sense because it wasn't Australian, but it wasn't. I don't know what that was. It was not real.
Well, what he could be trying to do, though, is so these people were all brought together because they were important.
From different walks of life. All
there you go. That's why you have the potheads, you have the kids, you have all these different people from different places. Different nationality. You know, they came.
Yeah.
They all met. I don't know. I'm going to assume that's what he was implying.
Okay.
But I don't know. He couldn't have actually hired.
Yeah. Accents in movies, it's really annoying when they're just very incompetent. Because it's not like I'm the only person in the world that thinks that accent was incompetent.
No.
And it's like, why didn't anybody...
I can't believe you didn't write down the worst actor in the movie.
Which? Head Bob?
Fucking cop dude.
Oh, that's right. I did forget to write him down.
And he's like... Wow, I'll check the forest with things this big. They can't go far without being seen.
And then he just awkwardly picks up the cage and walks out of frame.
That had to be like one of M. Night's friends or something. Like somebody's dad. He was terrible. Next is no questioning situation in any way, shape, or form.
This really just has to do with like everything in the movie.
But I think that goes back to the fairy tale aspect.
I know.
People don't question things in those.
But it's the first time this happens is when he sees this girl in the water.
Lady in the water. She's a lady.
He sees the lady in the water.
and decides to jump in after her, which you explained. You were like, well, no, that's because he thought that she was drowning because she didn't come up.
She didn't come back
which
up.
Which is fine. If they would have had his character say some, like, emote in some way that he thought that she was drowning, would have been fine. Yeah. But no, it was just like, she's in the water.
I more have a problem that when in that scene, it made it seem like he was struggling to swim.
That too. I was like,
which later on, we can see he can swim and hold his breath for a really fucking long time. Yeah. Whatever. It's fucking Paul Giamatti. He's probably drunk.
And then, like, you know, the does Paul Giamatti have an alcohol problem?
He should now.
Poor Paul.
Sideways was a documentary, dude.
And then the other situation is just the entirety of he hears the fairy tale and is like, wow, that has parallels to what's going on.
That is exactly
that is I'm exactly saying. What's yeah. going on.
But again, to me, it goes back to the fairy tale. You know, they didn't say like, oh, you gotta do this with the Rapunzel, and somebody went, nah, bullshit. Bullshit. They went, oh, okay, that makes sense.
No, right,
yeah, I didn't question that too much. What's your next note, Lincoln? Post-production slow-mo fucking kill me.
Now, you brought up a good point.
No, it's not a good point at all.
I'm just of why that this possibly was in the movie. There's a scene where they're sitting next to this glass doggy door thing. I don't fucking know what that was supposed to be because it was so close to the ground. That doesn't even make sense. It was a door. It had a fucking little
and older buildings, though, and like stairwell doors. That is common.
Oh, yeah, because it's supposed to be fucking timeless because there's fucking typewriters everywhere and no technology. Fucking kill me. No, because they're cell phones. They're talking on fucking cell phones.
They're talking on flip phones. Come on, man.
They're talking on flip phones and they have fucking typewriters.
Yeah, so tell me what time period this takes place. You can't because it's timeless.
Early 2000s. How could I not tell you the time period?
Look, that's just because you could look on IMDb.
No, it's set in early 2000s because they have flip phones. When was a flip phone invented?
Before 2000s.
Yeah, but that was like a Nokia.
You could not tell if that was a Nokia.
How could you not tell that was a Nokia?
You couldn't. Shut the fuck up.
It had that beautiful Nokia, like, silver bullet finish.
No, it was... No.
It withstood a Chinese lady's wrath.
All right, slow-mo. Grass so dog. Okay. Should we explain some of the creatures in this?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what they're called because they have weird names. Skrunks. I'm sorry. I'll never forget.
That's right, yeah.
Skrunks. Try saying that to your friends and see what they think he said. The skrunks are dogs made of grass that you can only see through a mirror behind you, which is bullshit because several people see them directly on several times through the movie. Yep. But I guess when they're hiding in the grass, you can only see them through the mirror from behind.
Because of their red eyes or whatever.
Because of the red eyes. Yep. What the fuck ever. A skrunt charges through the glass door and tries to... The skrunts are there to kill the Narf. The maiden Narf. I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth. The skrunt's job is to kill the maiden Narf.
Mm-hmm.
So it's trying to do it. When we watched the gag reel, we saw it is just a puppet. It's a practical effect. Yeah. My guess is due to time constraints or money constraints, they couldn't make it look good. So they just did the slow motion blur effect.
That I hate more than anything else.
It's post-production. They did post-production slow-mo on it. That's my only guess. Mm-hmm. Because I even said when we saw the puppet, I'm like, that looks better.
Yeah, but maybe the puppet looked good.
The only thing I can think is it flat out looked like a puppet.
Yeah.
And they ran out of money or they didn't have the time to CGI it. Because the production, you know, companies, Sony's like, we got to get it out. I don't even know if it's a Sony film.
I don't think it is.
I don't give a
fuck. It was legendary.
Oh, whatever. Big Blumhouse now. but I'm making excuses for the man.
Because I said that it would have been so much better if it would have like hit the door and then they would have CGI'd it busting.
In all fairness, do you remember the scene when it breaks out? Gently tapping the floor in front of the door.
Was he gently rapping on my cellar door?
He might have been. He was...
that was a slow...
I don't know what's happened to us. I'm getting dumb.
I was very, very proud of that joke.
But it looked like a 400-pound man was slamming into the door.
I was very proud of that joke. Somebody please tell me that. It was terrible. Cellar door is a funny joke. Just go to the next thing. No. I hate my
The next thing is Cleveland just came.
Oh, that was the worst. That was the absolute worst.
Stuttering?
Stutter.
When Lincoln, I got it. Tell you something.
That's exactly how it was. It was so bad.
Oh, it's because he was in the presence of greatness in that scene. Oh, Giamatti was that? Has never worked.
Oh, that was Shyamalan, wasn't it?
That was Shyamalan, yeah.
So he just looked at him and was like,
oh my god, you're so amazing.
Oh my god.
That's funny, going into your next note. Why is M. Night even in this movie? So we can figure out how great and ingenious he is, Lincoln.
Yeah, you know, this was before I figured out that he was, like, a main character. I was just like, there is a lot of M. Night in this movie. I thought that he was just going to be in that cameo in the hallway beating his wife, but...
His sister. sister wife. No, he's the main character. His character, in all honesty, is bigger than Paul Giamatti.
Well, in terms of, like, importance.
Story and emotion. Like the scene in the bathroom when he's talking to her about how he's going to die.
Yeah, I mean, he was good. That's
He's not a bad actor.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't that bad. He wasn't really great wasn't. Because it's just freaking M. Night. But yeah. He wasn't bad.
He wasn't bad.
At least he didn't kill Costner's wife. Spoiler. Tell me about the NARF.
This was when he talks to the Chinese lady about the NARF, and then he has that really weird, or no, yeah, okay, so this was, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. This was when he was trying to get the Chinese lady to tell him about the NARF. I was just waiting for him to just go, tell me about the fucking NARF, Chinese lady!
Was this when he was baby Paul?
No, this was not, okay. This was not that yet. It's just Paul Giamatti is just, his character is really weird when it comes to asking about the NARF and stuff like that, because why doesn't he have an excuse for it?
The
why
thing can't he just is, fucking tell me? His character is portrayed to think he has no purpose, but he shows sadness when he realizes other people have purpose. But then when he's told he has purpose, he's like, I can't do it. I don't want this. This can't be me. I don't know what he wants. I don't know. It's really confusing. Here's the exposition again, dumb shit.
This was tell me about the NARF, and then they start the Chinese lady.
They start, yeah, because they don't tell the story all in one go, even though they basically do at the fucking beginning of the movie over the stupid animated thing.
Yeah, the exposition again. That was also,
you know what the beginning reminded me of? The beginning of Last Airbender.
I knew you were gonna say that.
It does, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was also, I believe, the exposition again. Was when, you know, he needs to get the medicine or whatever it is.
The magic rock.
Yeah.
The key or whatever, yeah. The magic key.
So he goes into the pool to where the nymph lives, and it's when he's, like, going to the grate that they literally just dub over her saying that again, in case you didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah. Pauly G as Aquaman.
I start referring to Paul Giamatti as Pauly G.
He's Cleveland.
So throughout this entire section, he's going in the water, but
that dude can hold his fucking breath.
Yeah, he holds his breath for like 10 minutes. And how does he know it's there, and how does he know how long it is? Any thoughts?
Because jumping ahead, he's the healer. He just doesn't know it yet. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So he innately doesn't realize that he knows, but he knows.
I didn't even think about,
because he's
that.
The healer.
Damn, I just got Shyamalan.
You got Shyamalan. What a twist.
I really didn't even think about it. Fuck you, Shyamalan. Yeah. Piece of shit.
You know, if Shyamalan, if he's listening right now, he might be like, oh, well, that's a good point. He might not even fucking know. I don't know. Even though, god damn it, he looks like he's so much fun to work with.
I guarantee he is. I've never heard of bad.
I hate his movies, but keep watching him because I want him to be good. I like him as a person.
I like him as a person, and I like him as a director. I think that he can direct a movie well, and he can put set shots up well.
But as a writer,
he just, you know what? Kevin Smith is a great example. He got lucky.
Yeah.
He got a good movie out, and has just been kind of riding that ever since.
Yeah. The only difference is that he doesn't try stuff new and go, that didn't work. Sixth Sense 2.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, kill me, it hurts to live.
Yeah, this was when I completely was, I was done. I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, this is actually how this movie is.
I will say, I enjoyed this movie so much more this time, just watching Lincoln and laughing. You really wanted to like this movie.
I did, and you know, I think it was out of spite.
Yeah, and I knew, I kept telling you, you're not going to like this. You were going to hate it.
It's just, in my heart, I wanted...
This is his worst film.
I wanted, because, okay, if you say M. Night Shyamalan made a movie, it's about fucking water nymph, has Paul Giamatti in it, there's no twist. I was kind of down with that. I was like, okay, all right, I can fuck with this. You're
still down with it?
No.
Would you watch this or Rubber again?
Definitely this. I'd never want to watch Rubber ever again.
Rubber's not an hour and 50 minutes. I think I would watch Rubber.
I don't even care because, like...
Ooh, I would watch this over Jack and Jill.
No, I'd still watch Jack and Jill.
That's fucking disgusting.
The reason... No. The reason I would watch Jack and Jill is because I would want to watch it again for the sole purpose, counting how much product placement is in it. I think that would be fun.
I'm not watching it again.
I'm not either. Fuck I'm you. Just saying Fuck if I had front. To choose.
Okay, whatever. Pauly G submits to innate baby finish.
So...
Absolutely true. For no fucking reason.
Yeah, the Chinese girl says...
Good lord, you did another full page?
I told you,
Jesus Christ. Okay. We're for the long haul, folks.
Chinese girl says, like, hey, my mom's only going to tell you the rest of the story if you act like a fucking child. So Paul Giamatti literally starts acting like a child, like he gets milk on his mustache.
And I think like, when no, she starts to laugh, I think she's really laughing.
Well, yeah. I thought you were going to say that it was part of the, like, I wonder if he'll actually do it.
No. I think the actress was actually laughing.
It was terrible. And then he, like, lays on
because you can tell Paul Giamatti, he's just fucking going to town. He's improvising that shit.
Mm-hmm.
God help me, it's stupid, but it's, like, the closest thing to funny in the film.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only comedy scene that has any sense of comedy.
I mean, the only really funny thing to me is Baby on the Half Tip.
Baby on the Half Tip.
Alright, how many times did... He's just down to PG
now. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
How many times did PG say narf and think of eating rat poison?
I was just... At this point, I was really... Because he said narf like 8 times in a row. And I just wanted to think of him at the round table reading. And him just saying narf with a straight face. And not just like looking up a Shyamalan. Not just looking into his cold eyes.
I wish all the people group were called like the Thundercats.
What if M. Night... Like, just popped out the court. Snarf!
That'd be amazing. This movie would be great. He just slowly, his head, like, creeped in the corner. Like, a post-production. He's just smiling. Snarf. Just falls. Just periodically throughout the movie, it just pops up. Like, in different corners of the screen.
It should have been the commentary. It would be, like, pop-up video, but it would be his little snarf, snarf. And then, like, little commentary would come up.
Why doesn't he ever do commentary on his films?
I don't know. That's something I have kind of wanted.
I would love because... Like I said,
I wanted to watch After Earth because I was pissed when After Earth didn't have commentary.
Because I really think there's so many things that he's trying to do that maybe we're just not smart enough. That just don't come across, you know? Like,
but do you think if M. Night did commentary that he would actually like tell
that stuff? I think he would. Though?
Do you think he would?
I think he would.
Maybe someday.
Maybe.
Think about this. M. Night retirement goes out. Boom. Box set commentary of all my movies.
If any of you out there know M. Night Shyamalan. I'm giving us a call.
I would love to talk to him.
I would shit my pants if he was on here. He'd be like, hey, you guys have shit on my movies for a week. I'd be like, yeah, but we really like them. And he'd be like, yeah, I hate you all. You're liars. He'd be like, yeah.
I mean.
We're liars. Do you want to sponsor us?
I don't know. Here's my thing about M. Night. I don't even know if I'd want to interview him necessarily. I just like would want to have a candid conversation with him where I could ask him like legitimate questions.
Yeah, just I wouldn't like, want to interview him.
Yeah.
I would love to get his input on film, because I don't know if you're... There is a character in this film, the reporter or whatever, mm-hmm. that is flat out just in the movie to give M. Night's opinion on Hollywood films.
Yeah.
It's a scene, you probably mentioned it, where he narrates...
Mm, yeah, I talked about it.
You know, like, horror movie cliches. And he talks about... He even says, there's nothing original anymore.
Mm.
And that's where I think we keep giving M. Night credit, is he's failing at film, but he's trying to do something original with all of his films.
However...
That's why Airbender was such like a term, because it was felt more mainstream.
The Visit is the only thing that I will say that it's not original.
No, I'm
saying... There's no originality in that.
During this time.
But...
You know, with The Village and Sixth Sense, Signs, he's trying to do original takes.
Which is great, and I will still give him credit for, because, you know...
Well, The Visit, I think, was an original take on a horror film, and then it wasn't supernatural.
How was it original, though? It was just found footage, it was, like, Unfriended.
We haven't seen Unfriended.
Yeah, but that's... Whatever.
I don't know.
Well, Unfriended's not really
If you compare The Visit to modern horror films, it's not just blood and gore and jump scare.
Yeah, there's a lot of kid rapping in it, so...
Yeah, which apparently people fucking love.
Yeah, what the fuck is up with that? Why do people like those
scenes? Why do people like that movie?
Whatever.
All right, next up. M. Night originality speech fucking killed me.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Okay.
This is when he was talking about... I was angry about this because it's not that I...
It's pretentious.
Yeah, it's... You know, I don't hate what he's saying. I just hate how he's saying it. It's why are you so blatantly obvious?
Yeah, and this film is the closest he's gotten to a pretentious film.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if he understands symbolism, because things are in here as symbolism, but then he just fucking tells you.
Yeah, it just explains them.
I almost think this movie would have been better if he artsied it up a little bit and didn't explain things. Don't give us some of the exposition.
Probably would like
to. Let us figure the story out on our own.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think I would have liked it. But.
Well, you know, one thing that you said that I do agree with is that if this was like an M. Night Shyamalan short series, like 12 episodes or something like that.
To where you could really flesh out the characters and the story, this would be great. There's a lot of potential here.
Because, you know, I like the super fairy tale stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Stuff's cool.
I said this movie could fit a not. I said Twin Peaks vibe. I think not that.
I wouldn't agree with Twin Peaks necessarily.
Not a type of. It's taking place. It's a serious film with weird shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like you.
Yeah, I guess
you're like you have a straight character. I don't know. That for not. You know what I mean. Not David Lynch. But I'm not comparing those two for God's sake.
I was like, do you really want to compare Lynch to Shyamalan right now?
This is like watching a puppy die.
Out in the frozen tundra with no food everywhere. Like, you're sitting in an igloo.
Is this when the stick monkeys killed the grass talk?
No.
Okay.
It has absolutely nothing. This was just my emotional response to what I was seeing.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot more like that. I just want you to buckle up.
Okay.
No, I was watching this. This was after I'd given up on any hope of anything good coming out of this movie. And I was just imagining, would I rather watch this or would I sit in an igloo watching a puppy die in the tundra of the Arctic?
All right, next note. It's a quote. Hey, story, can you, like, look up with empty eyes for 8 minutes?
This is the scene where she's
when
in
suddenly
the...
she kind of becomes, like, comatose and won't talk?
Yeah, that was
when
weird.
When she's sitting in the shower?
I don't know what the fuck that was. Yeah, so she's sitting in the shower, and all of the guild and the fucking whatevers that are supposed to help her get away, they're, like, talking, and then it keeps doing the shot where it's just her staring up.
Is this before or after she Carol Burnetted it with the ear tug?
This is after.
When she's the third base coach.
Nobody's going to get that joke.
Well, third base coach?
No, Carol Burnett.
Somebody old out there will get this fucking joke. Speaking of her, totally upset.
Mm-hmm.
He gives her a shirt to wear, right? Because she's a naked fucking man. Why does he never give her a goddamn pair of pants?
I wonder that too, because I thought that she would eventually get pants after the first.
I mean, she's out there.
Yeah, she's
just
naked and has a...
She's just out there. Boobs can't see those.
Maybe M. Night was just like,
no. No. I'm sure the actress was wearing underwear or something. I hope so.
No,
M. Night, don't be pervy.
Frisky little M. Night.
I don't think he's pervy. What's that? Is he a crab?
No, that's if M. Night was a spider. A shifty spider.
What is that enema?
Yes.
Okay. Can someone please give me an enema?
That was just an emotional reaction to what was happening.
Why would you want an enema?
Anything was better.
Why do you want to just violently shit?
Anything was better than what I was watching
at
the time.
No. What? No. Oh,
babies on the half tip. What does that even mean?
I honestly think, again, going back to the gag reel, because they kept saying it,
mm-hmm.
I wonder if it started as a running joke on the set.
Yeah.
Because the group of stoners at the beginning, like, we're going to come up with the next catchphrase. And somebody goes, got it. Blim, blam. They're like, nah, man, that's already been said. And then later, I keep calling her not Rosario Dawson. I'm going to laugh if it really is her. She says blim, blam.
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, baby's on the half tip. And then when, like, when they do the party flyer, it says, like, baby's on the half tip. But then the thing, like, all the crew says it all the time. Like, I almost wonder if it started that way.
I'm okay with that.
I am too.
And that was actually...
It's a nice little funny thing.
Every time I saw it, I just laughed.
Yeah, so...
Baby's on the half
tip. I like the baby's on the half tip. Whatever.
I think the FBI is going to follow you.
Damn it. Shut up. No. All right. Boy, you're just really going down a rabbit hole in your notes here. I'm numb now. I want death.
That was when I slouched from the couch onto the floor.
And then you got really quiet.
Yeah.
You got really quiet.
I kind of had an exercise.
I had this thing throughout the most movie, though. I would just stare at you and smile. My head in my hands and just smile at you. Like a cute little cherub.
I just...
Yeah, you weren't having it. What's the next step? Wave to them because they're 5 feet away and you obviously can't just walk over there. That's the band.
Yeah, that's the band scene. They have this pool party to distract people while a giant eagle is going to come down. And
because the crossword guy is wrong.
Yeah.
By the way, they all have roles in this movie. And the twist is, the first ones that all have roles, they're all fucking wrong. They're the wrong people. And then it's like, oh, who are the people? We're the only ones left.
Mm.
Yeah, fucking band.
So.
What was the song? What was the song?
Oh, Maggie's Farm.
Yeah.
It was like some weird rock version of Maggie's
Farm.
Oh, it's
terrible.
Oh, God. They're doing the pool party, and they're supposed to be using walkie-talkies to start, like, the
band to play so all the people can go in there and be distracted. And they use the walkie-talkies up because stoners were playing with it all night. Herb, derb, derb. And he's like, well, just wave your arm so that they see and then they'll start playing. And then it pans over to where the band is and it's like 5 feet away.
Yeah, just walk over there.
Yeah, just fucking run over there. Why did they need walkie-talkies in the first place? The place is not that big.
It's so she could talk to...
She didn't have a walkie-talkie.
No, no, when she did, when they thought that Polly G was the guardian, yeah, and he's staring down the grass dog, the scrunt.
I'm looking at you, grass dog.
Scrunt. All right, this is actually an anti-weed film?
Anti-weed film, yeah.
I love how they say it's not stuttering it. I keep fucking naturally doing it now.
So I realized that I think that M. Night was trying to give an anti-marijuana statement in this movie.
It's really weird because we keep calling them potheads. They don't really smoke pot that much.
They have dreads and they say blim blam and baby on the half tip.
Yeah, but like towards the end and stuff, they're still potheads and they're coherent.
No, because they fuck everything up. That's why drunk. That was there. One of them gets drunk and they have fucking leave their post when you told them not to leave the post. And the fucking weed grass dogs hiding in the grass. That's red true. Eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's fucking stoned. Yeah. It's good for it. It's good for it. You eyeing my lemon drink? That's your next note.
That was when they're laying.
The healer looks like.
The healer looks exactly like the one from The Happening.
It might be. I don't know. I don't give a fuck to look up this movie.
Yeah, I don't care.
My purpose.
So.
That's your whole note.
Yeah, well. That's because there's that scene where, you know, they're talking about the purposes. And it's so heavy-handed yeah. and terrible. And I'm just, why can you not be subtle about this?
He doesn't know how to be. This movie was a departure for it in style. Like, Sixth Sense is supernatural, kind of scary.
Mm.
Unbreakable, kind of. Signs, supernatural, kind of... These are like scary undertones. The Village.
Yeah.
This isn't.
True. This isn't. I mean, it has little things that can be like thriller-ish.
Like the dog?
Yeah, you know, the underlying theme of the terror of the dog.
And the guys in the stick suits?
Well, that's not really like a terror thing, because that's they're supposed to be hilarious. Good, but those are stupid.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Ugh.
Yeah, purpose scene was fucking stupid.
All right. A dog inside the building? Why say this?
Yeah, I was really annoyed at that scene first because I didn't understand what the scene was getting ready to turn into. I just thought that he was walking down the hallway talking, and it didn't make any sense to me because he was alone in a hallway, and it was just stupid.
I think it leads you to believe because before they're like, who would tell you all these things to put this girl's life in danger? Maybe we're supposed to believe, like, in the story there's an evil guy. Maybe it's supposed to be him, which I think would have been better than him just getting killed by dogs.
Oh, that he was...
That there was a character she forgot to mention in the story.
There was an antagonist. Yeah, that actually would have been pretty interesting.
That, like, is hunting and he brings the blah, blah, blah. I think maybe someone's cut? I don't know. Because that was the cut to the guy. Like, what kind of monster would do this? This girl could die. Right. What kind of monster would do this?
I honestly want to say that was just completely unintentional.
I don't know.
But
he did give us the humorous moment that you forgot to laugh at.
So he's walking down the hallway, and he's just giving this big, again, M. Night Shyamalan, I'm going to tell you what I think about movies, where he is talking about, well, this is going to happen, and you're going to do this, and then I'm going to turn around, and blah, blah, blah. And he turns around, and whoop-doop-doo, the grass dog eats him.
But in the quick little,
holy super sped up camera. Shit, that which was they do twice. So bad. Why? Again, this
it
is...
It has that late 90s, early 2000 horror movie camera.
It was like watching Scream.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was exactly like a shot that would have been a Scream.
Well, if anybody out there watches Red Letter Media, if not, you should. They did a Best of the Worst, and they did a movie called The Item.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it reminded me of.
Mm-hmm. A thing that does aggravate me with M. Night Shyamalan is that, you know, I talk about how that I think he is a very competent filmmaker, but he just does a lot of really bizarre... shots like and stuff like that that I don't understand.
It's other
like,
than those two shots in this movie's all slow pans.
Yeah,
it is. Well, I would say it's a stereotypical. It's not most of a lot of the conversations. We only see one side of it, not the other. It didn't do the M. Night talk.
Oh, yeah.
Like in Signs, you know what I'm talking about? Where it's I like know, you're on one side of the table, and it's like after you talk, and then take whoop. 2 minutes
to go to the next person, over.
And they can say a line and then come back. Fucking hate that. I'm glad he's over that.
But you know, he just does amateurish bullshit like that sometimes, and it just pisses me off.
Sorry, I don't know.
All right,
the next one is let me begin the act of serial scrying.
Why?
Little Jaden Smith.
Did you have little Jaden Smith? It wasn't Jaden Smith.
I know.
I'm gonna call him Jaden. Why would you have little Jaden Smith
and he's going to be a prophet, and he's going to scry the message of the future.
I think you got nailed it on the head.
I am pretty sure. Off of fucking cereal boxes. And all I can come up with
it
is
It actually made
placement.
More sense when we thought it was his dad and the crossword puzzles.
Yeah, why couldn't it have been the puzzles on the table?
Because that's the twist, Lincoln. It's the fucking twist.
What, Kellogg's needs to give them money?
Guess so. Fucking twist.
Because you see them at the table, and the dad's doing the crosswords, which makes you think...
What was the kid doing at the table?
Puzzles.
Eating cereal.
That's so fucking stupid. Oh my fucking god, I totally forgot about that.
Because remember he was like moving it around in the bowl?
Oh my god. Then why was he not doing that? Why was he scrying, looking at the fucking boxes, and he wasn't like doing it? If it was like
product
reading
placement.
Tea leaves, god fucking damn it, M. Night Shyamalan. Why couldn't you...
Product placement.
No, because it's...
Product placement.
If you could have the fucking box sitting on the table
he couldn't
while
have,
he has the bowl.
He wouldn't have had 12 different boxes like he did in that fucking cabinet.
Whatever, let's just say he's in a fucking circle of boxes, and then he has his fucking bowl there. And let's say... I'm gonna fucking.
You honestly think that would have been better?
No. Yes, I do think it would have been. Instead of looking at fucking Kellogg's cereal boxes,
circle of boxes around him.
Let me finish. Jesus. I'm gonna let you finish, Kyle.
Jesus
I'm gonna let you finish.
Christ.
But this is the greatest rewrite of M. Night Shyamalan of all time.
No, it's
so he's gonna be sitting in the middle. Okay, he's gonna be sitting in a circle.
You are literally
worse than
M. Night.
He's making boxes around him. Okay, he has a little bowl.
Why?
He has a bowl, and he's poured his little Captain Crunch or whatever the fuck Fruity Pebbles he has in there. Okay, and then he's looking at it, and he's like moving them around. And he's just like, and then he does like his prophetic things. He's not just looking at a box of fucking Chex Mix telling me what the fuck is going to happen with the rest of this movie.
Your idea is far worse.
No, it is not. It is so much better.
It creates a fucking Stonehenge of cereal boxes around
it. What else would you have wanted to happen?
The crossword puzzles.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying.
It's just been the crossword.
No. I'm talking about with cereal. What would you have wanted to possibly happen with cereal? There was not. Him looking at a fucking box.
If he was reading the boxes, I wish he wasn't reading the front covers where it was obviously product placement. Fucking find clues in, like, the goddamn list of ingredients on the side. Find something.
He could have been scrying from a bowl. That's all I'm saying.
He could. Whatever. Either way, it's fucking dumb. It's goddamn cereal. Just eat your fucking cereal, kid. Go to goddamn school. Kids ever go to school? Jesus Christ, they live in a hotel. your next note is, the world will be like a child!
You do it so well.
Lincoln is slowly dying.
Don't cut this out.
No. Don't you dare cut this out. This stays in, you fucker. Anyway.
There's a character that we met
once before. We don't know his name. We don't know who he is. Oh. But for no reason, he Muppet shakes his head violently and screams, I want to be like a child. Like, each word he has to shake his head up and down violently four times.
He looked,
I just did that. That's why he's breaking down laughing.
He looked like the blue Muppet thing. With the
Grover? My God. I have never seen you so broken in my life.
It was so bad. It just, like, oh.
There was no reason for it. This guy was the biggest. He had, like, two lines.
Yeah.
Such an overactor. Oh my god.
I mean, I gotta give it to him. It was great hamming it up, but
like I said, it's like if you've ever been to like a kid's puppet show where the people are behind the little wall and that's how they have to talk because they have puppets on a mouse. So they just have to like move them up and down with the words. That's what he did. Pauly G showing chops.
This was the scene where they're in the, where he's holding her.
Oh god.
And he's like crying and stuff. Great scene.
Very,
no complaints there.
Very emotional scene.
Yeah, because Paul Giamatti's a good actor. Fucking have him not say Narf eight times.
Yeah, I think it's more impactful in this film because it's out of nowhere. It's like, holy fuck.
Oh, that's when it was, yeah.
Zoom, zoom, zoom in camera.
Yeah, fuck that stupid
fuck
shit.
Fuck that shit. There's actually an eagle. Did you not think there'd be an eagle?
You know, I was still kind of expecting a twist. I was like, right there, I was like, this is it. Like, there's not actually going to be an eagle. And then there was actually a fucking eagle.
It's actually an eagle, yeah. We don't actually see her get taken away.
That was fucking stupid.
Suddenly the camera goes under the water and you blurrily see it. Another reason why it leads me to think that at some point they ran out of time or money. The whole movie built up to this fucking eagle and then you don't see it take her.
Yeah.
You see a CGI eagle flying after it takes her. No sign of her anywhere. She wasn't riding on top of it. I think it swallowed her. I think she's dead. And tree monkeys.
Yeah, again, I kind of didn't believe that the tree monkeys were going to be real.
And when we say tree monkeys, they're literally monkeys made out of trees.
Like, yeah, so there's no humor in tree monkeys. They're actually tree monkeys.
Yeah, they're wooden. They don't look a thing like a monkey. They are seriously people in rubber suits. I said they took the sign suits and just put sticks on them.
What if they actually did?
They may have.
Hey,
I don't know.
Resourcefulness.
It's silly. But they're there to kill the scrunts. In scene acting chops.
Okay, that's referring to the last scene where he is talking to her, and they're just like standing there. They're
this
not
is
really,
thank
like,
you
talking.
For saving my life.
Yeah, I
like that scene.
And there wasn't too much dialogue.
You want to talk about Reggie just staring down a fucking scrunt?
Oh, I forgot to write that down. I was laughing a little too hard.
He's all confused with his plate, and he just drops it. I fucking love Reggie.
I can't deal with one arm, dude.
He needs his own movie.
I'm telling you, Bubble Dude and Reggie.
Oh, just. And that's the fucking ending. That's your last note.
Yep.
This movie just ends. We see people looking up into the sky, assuming that that's the eagle flying away, and then the credits roll. There's no real payoff.
I mean, there kind of is. You just don't see it. You know? I mean,
you see how it impacted Cleveland, Paul Giamatti. That, like, he's come to terms. He finally admits in his emotional scene about his wife and kid. He didn't know what he knew about.
Yeah.
Got this out. He's confident. He has purpose again. But you can see throughout the film that these other people, they're getting involved. They're getting excited. They have found purpose as well.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to them? They still living in the fucking hotel, jobless?
Lem Knight's dead, eventually.
Well, yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
She
gives him a time frame.
Yeah, he'll get to see two of his sister's seven fucking kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll be murdered because of his book.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it'll have great change. You know what? A question I would have asked if I was him? Is this change for the good?
Well, no, didn't he ask that?
She didn't really answer it, though.
That's right, she didn't. But he did answer. He did ask it.
But she didn't answer. I would ask again. That's when he goes, will someone kill me? Because there are things in here people don't like. And she said yes. It was easy to leave that maybe this isn't for the best.
I didn't even think about that. She never said if it was
I don't know.
The best.
Maybe he was implying, like he did in The Happening, or was it Devil, that he was doing the Airbender. Which movie was it that had the...
That was Happening, when the daughter goes on the bus and she has a Avatar backpack.
Yeah.
And then the license plate says the date, the Airbender.
Maybe they're like, somebody's going to kill you with this. I don't know.
I don't think he was looking that far.
I still think this is worse than Airbender. I really don't.
You know, this comes in...
I say this is worse because this had more potential. It had better acting.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to, you know. I'm so pissed at this movie because of what it could have been.
I thought this had a story, could have been great. Paul Giamatti's amazing. Fuck it. We complimented M. Night's acting, for God's sake.
Yeah, and we talk about how great the shot compositions and stuff are. But, you know, the thing about Avatar is that it's just dog shit. Like, the actors are terrible. The story's fucking terrible. A lot of the special effects suck. Like, it plods along. But the thing about it is that it doesn't really upset me as much as this one.
Yeah, this movie pissed me off a lot. I only enjoyed it this time because of watching you.
And my questions were just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, 5 minutes in, you're asking questions. I'm like, no. All you do for an hour and 50 minutes, this movie is, all you do is sit there and just, why? Why? What?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? But the answer to all those is nothing. Nothing. Nothing means anything in this. When you do think it means something, then out of nowhere, they just go, oh, that was wrong. It's this person. And then it just happens. There's no like,
and there's like, oh, right,
it's okay. Not impactful. It's not anything. It's like, I thought you were healing a butterfly. She's like, dude, you brought the butterflies. He's like, okay, cool. You're healed. Well, no, actually, they're like, she's dead. We need to take her to the hospital. And they're like, you're the healer. He's like, nah, man, I can't. I can't.
Mm.
Bitch, you basically love this girl. I say basically. You can tell he hasn't had anyone care about him in a long time.
Yeah.
So when she comes along, because he fights it, he doesn't want her to, but he also embraces it. It's fucking dog shit. This movie's terrible. That's
serious
a question. Shit.
Serious question. Why has M. Night not done a romance story?
Maybe he did.
No.
We haven't seen it. Remember the one we haven't seen? That was before Sixth Sense that we heard about?
No, because that's like a Malcolm in the Middle kind of.
I thought it was a romantic comedy.
No, it's not a romantic comedy from my understanding.
Okay, I don't know that. I mean, The Happening. That was
I just, like, I think he could probably do it. I'm talking about, like, full... I'm talking about, like, Annie Hall. Well, not that.
Did you
that.
Just say M. Night could do Annie Hall?
No.
You mean just a straightforward film?
A straightforward film involving romance? I'm not saying that I'm... No, because do you remember last year when I said, oh, I wonder if M. Night Shyamalan
what would happen if you raided any hall. I don't want that to be a reality.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Just saying. I think M. Night could do...
No, he can't.
And I say as long as he doesn't write it.
Well, as long as he doesn't write it, yeah, he's just fucking pointing a camera and shit. But I don't think he will ever make a movie he didn't write.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I don't think he will. I think he said that before, right? He wouldn't make someone else's film? Hasn't he... I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure at one time he went on record
saying...
What if
he had, like, a co-writer for
it? I don't think he would do it. I do not think he would do it.
Why is he so stupid?
Because he thinks he's a fucking genius with the goddamn cookbook.
Yeah, that's right.
And his writing will change lives. It will. You scarred me.
I guess it's just because I think about all of the scenes in the movie that could have been taken out, placed into like a romance movie, and it would have been really great. Like the scene on the couch, or the scene at the end, or the crying scene, all that stuff. That could have been great emotional stuff.
That was 2 minutes of the movie.
I know, but they're like really like little nuggets of like M. Night being great at something.
But that's all he can do is nuggets. He can't do more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a firm believer that people that say, well, Sixth Sense and Unbreakable are great, watch them again. I'm going to think they aren't.
I haven't seen either one in a very long time.
I hated Unbreakable when it came out.
That's right, you did hate Unbreakable.
I hated it from the very first thing that popped up on screen. I went to the theater and saw it.
Oh, yeah.
When it says comic book, I went, fuck you, because the twist was at the goddamn beginning of the movie. This is not what I paid to watch. I did not come to watch a fucking comic book movie. Came to find out why Bruce Willis didn't die in the train. I was a genius. It's clever. So you wouldn't watch Lady in the Water 2 if it came out?
Probably would.
Maybe the eagle dropped her in another town. She ended up in a pool.
And she's like, ah, fuck.
God damn it. Good thing I still have this shirt.
And then there's a new Seinfeld episode. Ba-doom, 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 ba-doom. Jerry, I'm telling you, there's a lady in the pool.
That would be amazing. I still can't get over she's a sea nymph that doesn't... At times, she needs to be in the water because she's
like
getting
no,
weak.
Yeah, there's like no repercussions
then
of her
fucking
not being
go
in the
back
water.
Outside and get in the pool.
She wasn't very nymphy either. I would have enjoyed some webbed fingers.
Okay. Wait, I have an issue now I never thought of. She can't go back outside to get in the pool because every time she goes outside, the dog tries to kill her, right?
Yeah.
How the fuck did she carry knocked out?
Oh, yeah.
How did she carry him back in? No, wait. We saw that she had a scar on her leg when she's the first in the house, yeah. So I bet she did get attacked. She did have a scar on the side of her leg, a big one.
But maybe that was just from previous attacks.
Yeah, well, but they're poison.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So I bet she did get attacked.
Then why didn't she die?
That's why he had to go get the healing thing, wasn't it?
No, remember? So she gets him out of the water, takes him back in the house, then she falls asleep there, and then the next like morning or whatever, then she goes. It wasn't like a dire situation like what she got the next time.
I don't fucking know.
Doesn't matter.
The movie sucks. Don't watch it. And that's it. That's all I got. You got anything? Should we rate it? Rate it, Lincoln. I want to hear your rating.
I rate 10 cereal box circle scries.
I'm going to base this off my first viewing and not the viewing with you. I'm going to give it a 2.6 because I really fucking hate this movie.
I'm going to give it about a 1.7, 1.8.
I hate it, hated it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. This is no baby on a half tip.
What if Lady in the Water 2 was called Lady in the Water 2 Baby on a Half Tip? And it was about a big... it was about Paul Giamatti. Okay, so the eagle drops her. Paul Giamatti is like, you know what? I gotta move on with my life. He moves out.
She drops back into his pool.
She drops back into his pool. They have a baby. Baby on a half tip.
Baby on a half tip? Mm-hmm. You're saying he's only a half tip?
No.
No, you're insulting poor Paul Giamatti. I just think it would be called Lady in the Water 2 Lady Harder. Scrunts Academy.
You need to read what I called these notes.
Oh, he did call these notes Man Outside of Fire notes. Because it's the opposite of Lady in the Water.
Get it?
Fucking dumb.
Get it? Because the opposite of Lady is man, and the opposite of outsider, inside of the water is outside.
I don't know why we need to define genders that way in 2016.
I'm fucking triggered.